another show. Don't Get This Twisted. I am Rob, along with my co-host, as always, Tina. How you doing, Tina?
I'm good. I still sound a little, or actually a lot nasally from whatever cold we got after my birthday party. But I'm doing all right. And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is St. Patty's Day today that we're recording the show on. So
hopefully. On my mom's side of the family, both my grandparents were very, very Irish. So we don't normally celebrate that side enough, but today I think we're going to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I have a little bit of Irish in me. I have
You've had a little bit of Irish in you?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think I have either.
No, I'm pretty positive, but I do have some of that background in me. I'm pretty Anglo. So I sent a picture of my ancestry.com to my friend down the street the other day. So I was like, because she has Spanish in her. So I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'll show you my DNA. And I was like, I'm pretty Anglo. And she's like, holy shit, you are white.
Yeah. When my ex did it, he's very white also. But it was amazing to see how much Irish we did have in us from the DNA, which was it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think let's see. I'm pretty much like Norwegian. Or I'm Scottish, Norwegian, and English, but I have 9% of Irish in me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm like Scottish, Norwegian, English, Swedish, Irish, and Wales. I'm Welsh.
You are a white boy.
I am whitey. Can't get no more whitey than me. Yeah. But, so happy St. Patty's Day and have some whiskey on us. Even though it's Wednesday when you're listening to this, but either way. You can still
could drink on Wednesday. Who cares?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're Irish. You're definitely drinking anyway. anyway, this week we just come off our getting to know people, that how important it is to kind of get to know people. And Tina, you found some cards lying around your villa, you know.
Yeah, my friends and I, you know, because I'm starting to date and stuff, and sometimes people just don't know what to talk about, and I'm a talker, so I don't have that problem. But my friend decided that she found these cards online, and so she ordered them, and there's different cards. There's like cards about intimacy and like things that you would like, and she got me another pack that was like a getting to know you pack. So I decided to bust it open. I busted it open right before we got online. Didn't look at the cards or the questions, but I thought Perfect. What we could do is just pull a card, ask the question, and we could both talk about it.
Yeah. And I think that this for some people is amazing. I prefer to kind of do this on my own. I have questions for certain people. Like there's a person I want to date that we're really close and I know a lot about her. A shit ton more you probably should. Than I should.
Right.
But there are certain things, like I'll throw her a question every blue moon just for shits because I want to hear, like, hey, what's your favorite fruit? Or what's your favorite dessert? Because I think these are important things that are very minimal. But when you're out and about, or you're like, oh, yeah, she said she likes peaches, and you can go and get peaches. And that's something that kind of hits home for people that are like, oh, yeah, I really do like this. And these cards that I'm pretty sure will probably get a lot of really good dating questions that you probably should know about people.
Yes. I have been dating. And one man that I'm dating, he asks me the craziest questions sometimes, but I notice he doesn't forget a beat. So I'm like, oh my gosh, is he taking notes? Because should I be taking notes? I mean, I normally remember what somebody says to me, but I found it interesting that he was really interested in what I had to say. So I kind of like that, which was the reason that I brought this up to a friend, which is the reason I got these cards. It just all kind of worked out that way. But I do kind of like when somebody could hold a conversation and remember things that I said and not ask me the same shit multiple times and actually could bring what he's learned to me in different ways. It's been kind of interesting. And I noticed that I do that with him as well. But I was groomed as a younger person to listen to what people say and try to take notes in my mind. So I've always been better at that than a lot of people. But I kind of dig somebody that wants to get to know me.
Yeah, I'm big on that. And mostly with somebody that I like, I want to know everything. I want to know a lot of like crazy things that most people don't ask, like your sizes, right? Like maybe I want to buy a t-shirt for you or, you know, places that you like to go. I might put that in a sidebar for myself for 2 months from now.
Yeah.
And go, okay, I know she likes this place. I'm going to go back around or maybe go back to a place that we've gone together just as a, hey, remember, like this was a fun time that we had before we dated. Mm-hmm. Those are important things to me. And I think long run are good for a relationship. So I think these cards will be very interesting for people who are listening to, like, even if you're in a very committed relationship and maybe for something that you've been with for years, to bring up these same kind of conversation pieces, because maybe it's something you really haven't explored or you forgot.
Exactly.
So, all right. I think it's a great idea. And look, we have a lot of time, so we'll pull as many cards as we can and discuss. I think it's a great idea. Let's do it.
So there's four little stacks of stacks. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just go one in each stack and then go back to the next.
Sounds good.
What was your last straw with someone you stopped speaking to?
Oh, wow. I think this is a good question. I think this is going to be a good relationship question to find out what kind of line in the sand you're going to get from somebody. For me, it's when you get to, if it's somebody that you like, maybe it's not a last straw, but it's definitely a push away of like them getting in a relationship with somebody and having to step backwards. Mostly if it's somebody that you like and maybe you didn't get chosen for whatever reason, you have to step back for the sanity of everyone involved.
For your own heart, especially.
For your own heart, but also to make sure that they're in a healthy relationship. Right? You don't want to be
I wouldn't give a shit about that if they were already giving me a hard time.
Well, maybe it wasn't a hard time. Maybe it's a friendship that goes into, like, I've had some very, very tight female friends to where when they get in a relationship, I still want to be in their life. I don't want to say it that way, where you're not, really in their daily life. You're in their life still, but you're definitely not like texting every single day. And I just think that it's good to be that. Now, I've had some last straws with people that I just felt did me dirty and was like, all right, fuck it. I am not talking to him ever again. But it has to be something very serious. I'm pretty good with being open about things that go wrong. Some things go wrong and you don't know it. I hate when people don't tell me. If I say something that's bad or hurts you, definitely be in my shit about it. Because I say a lot of crazy shit or what might end up sound mean, but I didn't mean it to be mean, is I'm just witty and I say crazy shit sometimes. What about you?
Well, the last time this happened was like my friend and I had always treated each other very, very well, very well. And then the person that he was with didn't like it. And so he kind of backed off, but was still, still talking to me or whatever from time to time. And when he quit treating me well, or when we could quit having a real conversation and not the bullshit that he was choosing to say to make his partner feel better, I was over it. It was like, if you can't treat me the way that I've earned as a friend to be treated, I don't want to do that with you. You know, if you want to be with somebody that's going to stop you or hinder you from having a relationship with a friend, then you're on your own. I don't have time for that shit.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a fine line between cutting people off and keeping them in your life. And
yeah,
you have to draw a line in the sand sometimes. Absolutely. And again, sometimes it's for the best of both parties, where it's a mutual thing of like, look, this happened. Let's separate and then maybe come back around. I check in with some people that I feel it was either a misunderstanding or it's just better that we keep that arm distance away.
Yeah. See, once I don't normally break away. I mean, all my friends I've had for 100 years and nobody is perfect, nor am I. So, you know, to me, it's like, I don't break it off. I just be like, well, this is a problem. We need to solve it, or we need to agree to disagree, do whatever, and not throw the other person away. But when somebody's willing to do that to me, I'll be like, let me let myself out and then don't bother with me anymore. There's a very specific like line in the sand that I don't like to cross.
And nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. So here's the next question. What argument are you tired of having?
Again, I think both sides, whether you're in a relationship for a long period of time or getting to know somebody, like, what is that argument that you don't want to really just keep going back to? I think a lot of it has to do with maybe money on my side. Let's talk about it, get it out in the open, and then work on it from there. I don't want to keep hearing either side. I don't want to go to somebody and go, why are you spending money? Why are you spending money? Why are you spending money? It's like,
yeah, I refuse to have those conversations. I just don't say a word.
Well, and I think that that once you say it one time, let's get to where we are. Let's and work on it. Like, you can work on parts of your relationship without constantly being nagged. And I think that if it's a serious enough thing on either side of the relationship, let's put it out in the open and go, look, this bothers me. Let's fix it. To me, and like I said, I don't think that, I just think you have to, and the money part for me is, where are we at? And let's not go past that border. I'm all up for spending money. I love spending me some money. But yeah, if you're in a dire strait or you're, one side can't bitch about it, and then the other side keep doing it. It's like, look, we're hurting this month. Let's chill out. Let's go backwards, and then the next month is good.
And you should not, as a partner, go against that. Like, if money's not there, and you're in like a ship that's running really tight, like don't fuck around with that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't spend the money. You don't need anything that badly, unless it's like groceries and that's have nothing different in the house. That's survival. Mm-hmm. But we're talking like extra bullshit that you didn't need.
Like me, like if I wanted to go get my nails done and we're hurting on money, I shouldn't go get them done.
Right.
But then on the flip side, when you have a lot of money or things are good and you got a bonus, feel free. As long as things are good, I'm all up for that. Like, you deserve that, and you should be able to enjoy life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What about you?
Great.
What's your
the argument that I'm tired of having is that that I'm jealous, or that I am looking for a reason to be mad at a man. Like, for instance, you know, were you snooping around, or why don't you go with me? Because I don't want you in my things. Personally, I'm not like that. I was taught by my mother that if you go looking for problems, you're going to find them. So if you want to have a good life, trust who you're supposed to trust. And then whatever happens will dictate how life works or how you should trust a person, because people show their colors. So you don't have to go looking. I don't go through people's cars. I don't like to go through their phones. I don't care if they're on their phone in front of me. I'm not automatically thinking they're cheating on me. That's never been me. If somebody wants to cheat, just do me a favor. Tell me not to go over. You know, I don't need to see what's going on or know what's going on. And I don't want to be in your shit, nor do I want you in mine. Because, again, if you want to go looking for something and find wrong in it, you will.
Yep.
So I would just rather not go that route. And I'm not a very jealous person. I could give examples, but I won't. But
yeah,
you know, I come agree. On.
I'm not very jealous either, mostly from my marriage. And like I said before, I think there's a little bit of jealousy that there has to be there. So your mate understands that you care about what they're doing in life, but there can't be too much to where it's like, what are you doing all the time? Where are you going here? Why are you at the grocery store too long? Well, that shit, I don't want that. I tell somebody, I trust you, and let's not go past that. If you don't want to be with me, just tell me. So I can, because I'll leave. I have no problem with that either.
I like, though, like when I'm out at the grocery store or whatever, if I take too long for somebody to call and say, hey, are you okay?
Exactly.
I'll be like, well, I went to this store and I had to go through every aisle because I've never been there before. Mm-hmm. But thank you for checking on me. Now, open the gate because I'm bringing in groceries.
Exactly.
You know, I love that. But not like, well, who were you with? Well, what were you doing? I was walking around the aisles of this stupid grocery store trying to find Alfredo sauce. Now, what do you want me to do? You know?
I think there's something to say, hey, are you okay? And just, you know, tell me when you're going to be here so I'm ready to go because I have shoes on and I can help bring in the groceries or whatever it is.
Exactly.
You know, checking in and checking up are two totally different things.
I agree. What's the dumbest way you've injured yourself?
I've done it a lot. So there's a lot of dumb shit I've done. Wrestling aside, because I can tell you that I've been hit with a VCR and most people go, what? Probably junior high school, my first year of seventh grade, I was told, we got out early. So I was going to head back to my elementary school. And my dad said, don't do it. I don't want you to go there. Nothing is good comes from that. We were playing football on the concrete, went backwards, tripped over my own feet, broke my wrist.
No.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
And then had to walk or ride my bike home with my best friend, went to his house. His mom happened to be home, put my arm on ice, and she was nice enough to call my dad. And then I got my ass lit into over that one.
Yeah. For me, I've opened up a cupboard, then bent over, and then came up and hit my hit my head or my forehead in a corner of a cabinet door. I stepped off a bus and twisted my ankle. My most recent when I broke my foot was I had a huge amount of things in my hand. Couldn't see the curb, and our curbs are high here because of the water when it does rain, it pours, and we were on a busy street, and I tried to come up on the curb at a weird angle, came up, had to bounce back down because I didn't get momentum to get my big ass and all the stuff up the curb. And when I did, I cracked something in my arch of my foot. So I did that. What else have I done? Slap my finger in a car door. Yeah, I don't do like hugely bad things, but they hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hurt a bunch of times. So, but I've, you know, tripped and fell over all kinds of shit. And I put a drill on a ladder at work and forgot about it. And it dropped on my head and I got four staples. I mean,
that's fun.
Yeah. I've done some dumb stuff, but the one where I shouldn't have been somewhere was when I was young.
What was popular when you were a teenager?
Parachute pants.
Ooh.
Parachute pants. I love those things.
MC Hammer pants?
No. The ones that were like made out of parachute material that had zippers all over them. It was kind of 84, 85, somewhere in there. And I remember like in the beginning they were expensive. And then obviously like every company started making them. So we ended up being able to get a pair for me. but parachute pants, and they were like the coolest thing. I'm sure if you look it up, MC Hammer pants was a little bit later. That was probably like high school was those. These were like made out of literally parachute material. They were so cool.
Ah, good times. Pagers were popular as teenagers. Yeah. MTV was popular as teenagers. That was when they played music. Rubik's cubes.
I had the pyramid. The pyramid one. Yeah. Oh, it was the greatest. Yeah. So
cool. I had all of them. The one that had like four rows on the sides, and you twisted it to try to. It looked like a pill. Then the snake was another one.
The snake was a cool one.
I love puzzles. But yeah, like old school rap was around when we were teenagers.
Slammed cars, like super slammed, like barely an inch off the ground, or being part of a truck club. I remember in the valley there was
a dance club where everybody showed up and we all rolled to the parties together. Yep. Did that.
Had your little sweatshirt with your name on it. You know, like the dance or the whatever the club was called.
Yeah,
that was good times. That was like almost like being in a street gang, but for dancing.
Also, around here, Bob's Big Boy was popular at the time. We used to go after football games and go and eat it at Bob's. And that was kind of fun, too.
Good time. Those were good times.
White lipstick and big ass hair was in as a teenager.
I love big hair.
My hair was so wide. It was as wide as my shoulders when we'd perm the shit out of it.
I like
that. Was fun.
Big hair was great. There's a couple of people that are on Instagram that are young girls that are like into like glam rock music, and they have this monstrously big hair
still.
And they do it purposely to look like the 80s. I'll have to I can find. There's this one girl who's like, she's got huge hair and bangs the whole nine. Like, she looks like she's from the 80s. It's really cool.
I don't even know if I could style it like that. I mean, I could style other people's hair, but I think I've lost the bulk of my hair to make it that big. Yeah,
right. The volume.
Oh my God. We used to have the biggest freaking hair.
Yeah.
And my mom would be like, "Why are you making your hair so big?" I'm like, "The bigger the hair, the closer to God." And we go out partying all night. Aquanet. Oh my God.
Super hold.
Aquanet was the best.
Yeah. You could walk by any high school bathroom and smell and see the shit coming out of it. It was crazy.
Our bathrooms at the high school we went to smelled of cigarette smoke, crap, and Aquanet hairspray.
Right. Yeah. Good times.
So here's one. Describe yourself in three words.
Oh, man. That's a great date question. Or just to get to know somebody question. I would say silly, simple, and geeky.
Really? Silly, simple, and geeky. Those are not words I would use to describe you, but okay. Okay, so for me, let me see. Three words. I would definitely say independent, astute, and kind. That's what I would say.
Yes.
Independent, astute, and kind.
I would go with those.
Thank you.
That's pretty much hit you right out of the park. I mean,
you think so?
Yeah. I look, there's a lot of words that can describe all of us, but I think that those three are kind of like who I am on the surface level. I'm pretty simple. Yeah. You know, I am silly. I like to do silly shit, and I like to make people laugh. And I am geeky. I try to warn people about that. Like, I still talk about Star Wars and comics and wrestling and like dumb shit like that. And I'm only an adult when I have to be. So
I hear you.
Next.
Here's the next question. What behavior did your parents have that you've made a point to avoid as an adult?
I've talked about this on the pod a couple of times. My dad loves me to death, and I know it, but he comes from the generation of not saying I love you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably count on one hand, maybe two, I say to my son every single day, without at night, off the phone, when he leaves, whatever. It's just, you know, a broken cycle. Not that, and again, not that I don't think my dad loves me. That has nothing to do with it. It's just a different cycle broken. And when he was a lot younger, I let him do whatever he wanted with his hair. Because my dad was like, don't ever grow your hair. And I grew it as long as I could.
He had some very long hair. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, my parents took everybody in. And as much as I hate that, I find that I've done that myself. But I try to not, you know, fall victim to people's sob stories to help them, because I realize it doesn't help them. It just hurts the people that are helping them. But I would say the one that really stands out is after my mom had her brain aneurysm, she got into taking some really heavy narcotics, and that took over who she was. And I avoid, my brother and I both at all costs avoid every type of medicine, even taking something for a headache. I will do it if I'm really hard up, the headache's just getting me. My brother, he won't even take an aspirin. So I found that was probably the biggest one that we both try to avoid, just because we know how high that cliff is.
Right. How bad it could
basically
be.
Basically. Yeah. So we made a promise to each other that that's not going to be us. And so far, so good, you know?
That's a plus. Yeah. That's a bad road to go down.
What is something you no longer care about?
What people think of me on a lot of levels. I think you have to just be who you are. And when you're young, you know, you want to be liked by everyone. And even early in your early 30s, I think is still something where you kind of like, you know, you want to be accepted. I don't look at that at all anymore. I'd rather have a very small core of people who understand who I am and want to be around me as who I am. And if not, I give two shits. And again, I think in the wrestling business for 20 years, you kind of do kind of care, or at least a lot of people do. And I learned very quickly in that too, that you cannot give a shit what people think about you, because you have to be true to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great date question as well.
Yeah. What is something I no longer care about? I don't know. I kind of care about most things. You know, it's funny. When I was younger, I always cared about my size, my weight, everything. Like, even though I couldn't get it under control, that being overweight, I always felt like I overcompensated with everything. No matter what I did, I had to be the best at it, because I was compensating for the fact that I was a foot taller and outweighed my friends. Now I don't even care. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I still keep the weight off that I lost. I still don't want to have to deal with going back to that. I'm still trying to be as healthy as possible. But that feeling that I was only good enough if I over excelled at everything else, that's gone. Now I'm just like, if you don't like me, I got a shit ton of people that do. I'm going to go hang out with them, because life is really good and I don't need to pick on myself that much anymore. Yep. So I would say that that's probably the one thing that I've chosen. Although I am, here's the flip side. I'm joining a gym again this week. I talked to my friend, we're going to do it together. But so it's not that I don't care about my weight. I don't care about what people think about it now.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that, like, if you're joining a gym, it's for health, not just.
Exactly.
Not just for that. Like, I kind of told my doctor the other day, because, you know, we were talking about my weight, and obviously I want to get my weight down as well. But, you know, I'm supposed to weigh a certain amount, right? Yeah. You know, based on this military chart from the 40s. And I kind of told him, I was like, look, bro, like, if I could get down to this weight, I'd be pretty happy, because yeah, I haven't been the weight that you're asking me to be in since I was like 15 years 12. Old. Yeah. So, like, right. There's something to that. But being healthy,
I agree.
And, I mean, you know, and not only that, as we get older, in between 40s, 50s, 60s, you should be lifting weights anyway. Even though it might be very small weight, it just keeps your muscles healthy.
I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
What is both a blessing and a curse?
To me, how I love. It's a blessing and a curse because I love hard, and some people can take that badly. And, but once I think you understand me, it's probably a blessing because it's meant to be in good faith. And, but I love hard, and some people can say that I'm a little intense, which is true, which is absolutely true. I have no problem saying that, but usually it's the bubble. Right. It's the outside of that bubble. Once I'm in that relationship, they kind of understand that, oh, you were being intense to get me. And now I understand who you are.
Yeah. Oh, it's a blessing and a curse. I think love in general is a blessing and a curse because mm-hmm. you could love fiercely and not be loved back. Or you could, you know, like with kids, like you could take care of them and love them and put all the good you can into them. Mm-hmm. And then they'll turn around and just be who they need to be, you know? And so I think that love could be both, because I remember one time watching my grandfather was in the hospital. My grandmother was not dealing well with it. She was older and just couldn't deal with the stress. And I looked at her looking at him, and she loved him, but she couldn't do what she needed to do for him. And the helplessness on her face and on his face made me so sad. It was like, you love him, but you can't do anything. That's a blessing and a curse, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll stick with that one as a blessing and a curse, love. What kid stuff do you still enjoy as an adult?
Lots of shit. Cartoons, comic books, that genre. Like I said, I'm kind of geeky. Not nerdy, because nerdy's no math. Geeky people. I'm into pop culture, so I still love movies and stuff. Here's the funny thing. When my kid was really little, my ex-wife wasn't really good with playing with him because he was a boy. I loved it because I got to play with action figures again and could sit on the floor and you know, play with really cooler toys than I had as a kid. So
right.
That part, I love that thing that I still love as a kid. So still fun.
I've always been really crafty, and my niece and I made friendship bracelets out of embroidery floss, and we spent so much time there, and I hooked it to my toe and I had my legs crossed and I was making bracelets and anklets and stuff with her all day. And that was a really good time. I also, I will still, if I find a Rubik's Cube, I will still play with that. I love crayons and coloring books. I will sit with the kids and do that for hours. I still like to watch videos on MTV, and I will, any chance I get, just turn on music at home. So if the videos are also playing, of course, I'll stop and listen to those and dance around with those and enjoy that. I still like coloring Easter eggs too. That's one thing that I like to do with the kids. I'm not big on pumpkins, you know, carving pumpkins. That's a little too messy for me, because you got to get all that stuff out of them and they're just kind of slimy. So I definitely like to still do Easter eggs. I don't know. I will sit on the kitchen floor with the kids and play jacks. I'm not big for Barbies or dolls, but yes, I'd say my favorite though is still crayons and coloring books or water paint. I love to do stuff like
that. I love coloring. It's funny too, because when you do it with a small child, and I mean, not like one who's just scribbling, one who actually gets to color. I love that because I'm a doodler, right?
Yeah.
So like when I have a chance, I like do highlights and low lights and like try to make them all like really cool looking and more imaginative. And No way. You know, I'm not around a bunch of small children anymore. So when I have that chance, I really kind of get involved. It's an important part, and it keeps you vibrant and kind of childlike.
If there's younger kids, I was like, let's pull out a game or the cards or like, I don't want to be on the video games. I've never been, I don't know. I think I was this much too old for video games. Really. Right. My brother was way into them. I played them, but I wasn't excessive. Like he got with it. But if you put a game, like I'll still play the shit out of Clue or Yahtzee or, mm-hmm. or the Game of Life, or I will play with the kids for hours upon hours. When my twin cousins were little, we played so much Yahtzee that when I played with them as adults, I thought I was playing myself. They did exactly the same scores, the same things I would have done. Right. And that was just from them. We played too much is what happened. But I enjoyed that.
My best friend, if you go to his house, he plays drinking Yahtzee.
Yahtzee?
I'll send you how he plays. It's dangerous.
Like, I don't know if
someone,
I could do that.
If someone rolls a Yahtzee, everyone has to drink. It's a dangerous, dangerous game. Lots of fun. But man, to the point where like they have a Yahtzee roulette. So if you get a certain thing, you have to spin this thing full of drinks, and then whatever it lands on, you have to drink it. And they're all different. It's not a safe thing to do. I even tell them, I go, I can't do that with you. It's too much. So it is. You see how you can take a child's game and make it into an adult game is pretty funny.
Absolutely.
What's another question? Okay.
Here's one. What is in style right now that you can't stand?
Oh, boy. Again, these are great dating questions because I think it's things that you're really going to kind of go, what is something that's in? Let's see. What would be something that I just kind of go, eh?
Sagging pants. I'm over it.
Yeah. Mumble rap. Have you heard any of that stuff?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Oh, I hate that too.
Sagging pants, I think, is just, oh God, for goodness sakes, pull your drawers up. Like, and maybe that's just the old, get off my lawn stuff. But, you know, it's just.
No, because we started the saggy pants. Our generation was definitely starting the saggy pants. But shit, this is like 40 years later. Get over it. Like,
no, but it got out of control.
This isn't a new thing.
It got out of control.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know what it's from, it's even worse. You know, that's a prison thing. It's a prison thing saying that you're open for backdoor fun.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's where it originated, in prison. So every time, I mean, I'm lucky my kid isn't into that. Like he never, ever sagged his pants. He always thought it was kind of dumb. So thankfully
it is dumb.
It is, but that's the origination of that is a prison thing. So if you sagged your pants, it said you were open to some man loving.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Now it makes you want to pull your drawers up and like tighten your belt up even more.
Now you want to see camel toe on a man.
Yeah. You're like, let me tighten that belt up real tight.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There you go. See?
That's funny.
We're teaching on this show.
Right? Here's something. What's something most people don't know about you?
Now, I don't know, because we talk about a lot of stuff on here.
I know.
There's really not much. I think you'd have to really dive into it. Like, I think that's a great date question as well, because it'll make you think, mostly like maybe at a dinner, like you, give you a little time to come back around. Being on here and actually really kind of spilling my guts more and more and more, there's not a lot of things people don't know about me on here. I don't know if I've ever really gotten deep into it. Like me and my mom didn't have a really tight relationship. I love my mom to death. And I mean, when she passed, it kind of definitely kind of brought up a lot of the things from my past, but we had a good relationship. But I was after high school or after elementary school, I was raised by my dad predominantly, you know, so we just didn't have a tight relationship. We talked a lot, you know, mostly in the last 10 years. And she knew a lot of like secrets, or not secrets, but things about me that my dad probably didn't know. It's because we talked about the person that I really like in my life with my mom. But we really didn't have a tight relationship of growing up. That's probably one thing a lot of people don't know.
Mine would be, I drive everywhere. I'm the driver. I don't like to be driven. I don't like to be in other people's cars.
Right.
And most people just say it's because I'm a control freak. But the truth is, when I was about 18, I went out with one of my friend's cousins and we went to the movies, and he picked a movie I did not like. So I was sitting there frustrated, and he kept trying to, you know, make passes at me or touch me inappropriately. And finally we got to leave, and I thought he was taking me back to his cousin's house, but he took me over to Balboa Park and tried to rape me. And I had to get out of car and take off running. I was in, like, I never wore skirts. I was never a dress person, but the one day I did, I had on heels and everything looked really cute. And I had to run in the gravel, and he caught me and threw me down, and we beat the crap out of each other. But he definitely fucked me up, dragged me through the gravel to get me back in the car. And He was definitely not taking no for an answer. And I just felt like, how do I get back to this car? Where is keys? And that, from that point on, I chose to just, I don't even let my dad drive really. Not that I have to worry about anybody anymore. That was a long time ago, but I just feel more comfortable when I have that sort of control over me getting home.
Sure.
But I don't really talk about that. I just say, just let me fucking drive and shut up. Like, I don't go into details.
I'm crazy about that as well, but for a totally different reason. But I just like to drive. Like, I don't sleep in people's cars either. Like, even let's say I'm a passenger. I know people who are like, I go right to sleep. Not me. I am crazy about that.
Yeah.
And it could be that, you know, I was almost in a car accident. Thankfully, my old tag team partner, who unfortunately passed away, we were on the freeway and a car literally hit the center divider right in front of us, and he downshifted and it ended up dropping his tranny and his car and a bunch of other stuff. But I just like to be in control, and generally most people, most women like Amanda drive. So I prefer just a little bit more control of where I'm going. And I kind of drive like I hate to say an old lady, but I've had one moving violation and I've never had an accident. So I just think, you know, being a little bit more control, but I totally understand that.
Yeah. Even with my ex-husband, I used to drive everywhere, and I would ask him, like, I got to the point where I was like, do you want to drive? And he'd be like, no, go ahead. Like, I don't want to do it. You're doing it. You got it. I'm cool to not. And I used to say, okay, Miss Daisy, let's go. But it was my fault. I gave him that name, being an asshole, but it was clearly because I needed to be in control with that. I'm working on not being in control. Like, I did get in your car and we did go out to lunch I didn't say shit about it. Mm. But again, I've known you 100 years. So I think that's part of the reason I was okay with that. In dating, I'm trying to let.
Did you get home, and after I dropped you off, and you were like, God, he drives like an old lady, for fuck's sake?
No,
like,
you know, I'm really trying to not give people a hard time. I did a lot with my ex. I feel bad that I put him through as much as I did, but he was the first one to really challenge the whole, you know, driving thing. So. Right. And he gave up. I won that. I know now that as I'm dating, I'm not like as much like that, but I've been told, why are you looking everywhere? Why are you looking in the mirror? Just be in the moment. And I still have a problem. So
sure. Nothing wrong with that.
Whatever. Who would you like to haunt as a ghost?
Oh man. there's so many people. If I had to really choose one, there's probably two. My friend down the street, I would haunt just because I think it would be fun. I love her to death and it'd be fun. But my best friend, he I think it would just be a lot of fun and I could, you know, do things. And mostly if we're talking like real haunting where he sees me and can hear me, I would mess with him all the time because it would just be fun. And again, I've known him for 40 years. So there's so many things that I could be like, ooh, you know, and you could come up with like a really like fun haunting voice, like, I'm here to get you. You know, something like that, where it would just be fun. My friend down the street, I would just haunt just for the shits and giggles of being like, hey, I'm still here. Hey, I'm still here.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? She'd like be really upset at me and tell me to go away.
I think it would be fun to haunt my brother because we have like a different. Is
so true for you.
We have a different like relationship. We're really close, but we talk shit all the time and we're always, you know, just doing stuff to mess with each other, not in a big way, but you know, just brotherly, sisterly stuff. And we have kind of a psychic connection. He's not big for talking. So when I want him to talk to me and he won't, I'll just sit and concentrate on him. And he'll call me and say, you need to stop. You don't need to be in my head. I know people don't believe that, but we really are that close. And it makes me laugh. I'm like, you can't get away from me if you tried. So if I was dead, that would be awesome.
He just could never get away from you.
Well, he can't anyway. He's my brother.
But for real, like, and I could just imagine, because like for the people who don't know your nickname with him, it would be even funnier. So like
my nickname?
Yeah, what he calls you.
Which one?
Well, he calls you. When I saw him, he posted something on Facebook the other day about your birthday.
He calls you Tuna.
So yeah. I can just imagine him in you're in his head, like going, hey, what's going on? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, I can see what you're doing. Just totally being a horrible ghost in the corner of a room and just laughing. He'd be like, Tuna, leave me alone. It would just be funny.
What's totally funny is when he talks to me, though, he does not call me Tuna. He calls me Tune. Yeah. So it's like, it's funny how we have that stupid shit. But I think I just think I would, because he still needs me.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of with my best friend. Like we're like brothers because my brother's so much older than me that I see him as more of a brother than my best friend. So it would be, yeah, I'd love to haunt his dumb ass.
And notice, like, I've asked other women this, like, if you could be a bug on the wall, who would you? It's always like an ex. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to deal with my ex's bullshit like ever. So it would never be him. But my brother, that would be fun.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I would haunt my friend down the street because we have a really good relationship. She's always wants to talk to me about stuff. So then she'd have a ghostly therapist. You know what I mean? I mean, it would be good. What else we got? Let's throw out a couple more.
If you could ask any living person a question and be assured a true answer, who and what would you ask?
Wow. That's deep. Holy shit. That's like super deep.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who would it be? I don't know the question, though, but I would probably try to get something deeper in my dad to see kind of where, because I mean, he's told me a lot of things about growing up and certain things in his life, but there's probably some deeper things that he's never really brought out because again, his generation kept everything in and they just weren't allowed to talk about things. And I'm sure there's some things I saw a lot of things happen as his siblings passed away, like just how he kind of changed. So it'd probably be a question of my dad. I don't know what it would be, but I'm sure that would come up in conversation. The more I would talk to him, something would pop out because there's something definitely that I'm sure he would like to tell somebody.
My dad was in Vietnam and he did not talk about it till Desert Storm started. That was what made him start. I took him and my uncle to see the Vietnam Memorial Wall, the traveling wall. And I was going through so much because all of my friends from high school were going into the military and they were all being deployed. And the fear of going through that as an 18, 19 year old person was severe. And so my dad had to start talking to me because these were kids in his little league. These were kids that were growing up in his house, and he was really struggling at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think I would ask him, which I've asked him 100 times and never got the answer, but what did he get his Bronze Star for? Because when I asked him, he said, I don't know. I think people deserved way more than what I got, but I don't ever get an answer. I think I would like to know that answer.
Right. That makes sense. So,
yeah. What first made you realize you were getting old?
Pain. More pain where, look, I abused myself pretty badly, right? In my 20s to you 40s. Did. I would say pain that doesn't heal fast enough. Where you're like, oh yeah, like I hurt my shoulder and it still hurts. And it's been, you know, a month to where like
it in December, it's now March.
Yeah, and you're still hobbling around. So that's where I was just like, I'm old. And then I think, you know, you see things around you, like taking my kid to high school. And then like they're just little girls, like where you see people for who they are then. Cause you're like, oh, and then like my kid will go, oh, this girl's pretty. And I'm like, yeah, she is pretty, but she's a baby.
Yeah.
That's when you realize you're old. And it sucks because you're old on the outside, but not on the inside. Because you still find young girls attractive. Kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. When I was 16, I got a fake ID and started going to clubs to go dancing. And I remember when I turned 29, I had gone dancing, mind you, at least once every weekend, but as much as like 4 times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was at a club, you know, depending on my age and where I was working, what I was doing. I was always in clubs, loved to dance, wasn't a drinker. I danced. I wasn't there to pick up on guys. I wasn't there to do anything. I was there to dance. And I remember being 29 and just getting like banged into a lot on the dance floor. And I looked around and I'm like, all these fuckers are kids. Like, I'm done. Yep. And in that one moment, it was over. I felt like I was too old and I needed to stop. And I just stopped clubbing. And it was kind of a sad day in my life because my love for being with that loud bass music and, you know, and I danced in the go-go cages at Florentine Gardens. And I went to all these crazy places to go dancing. And I had so much fun. And then it was just over. Like at 29, I was too old to do that again. It was over.
And it was over. Yeah. I it's similar to me. Like we just go, oh my God. But, you know, speaking with my friends around me and knowing where you're at in life, it's like there's still life though.
Oh yeah.
And I think
29, that's, come on, my life hadn't even started. I was in a club.
But even 40s, like my friend, she's in her late 40s and she's just like, oh, I feel old, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but you're still vibrant and there's still life left. And I think that that's important to realize that.
I do believe that age is what is going on in your head.
Yeah, it's relative.
And if you don't worry about that shit, it doesn't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And there's a lot to be said about growing old, but, you know, still enjoying life. All right, what do you say? One more?
Sure. What is something you look forward to every day?
Still communicating with people on a good level. I can talk now. You know, obviously I had issues in the past, but communication is key to, for one, keeping your mind sharp, but also still learning. I learn stuff all the time still that is important. And by, you know, listening to podcasts and talking to people about them or them talking to me about their life in general, It's still communication and it's important. And I think it's a lost art and it's going to be lost on this new generation that don't talk and only text. There is something about communication with people. I'm a texter too, don't get me wrong. Like, and I text some people more than others.
Yeah, we text all the time. We don't hardly talk on the phone.
Right. But we see each other for like a lunch and it's, you know,
the whole time.
Yeah, it's just vomiting out shit. And that's and I think that's what happens when you see the people that are close to you in life. I went and saw my best friend not too long ago and I was like, "Hey dude, I'm here and we're going to celebrate our 40-year anniversary and I got you a gift and blah blah blah. I'm only going to hang out for like an hour, maybe hour and a half." I was there 4 hours. So, and my friend down the street, if we ever get together, it's just verbal vomit, right? We just blah, 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 blah. And she's not, and she'll tell me like, "I really don't communicate or talk a lot with people, but when I'm with you, I can, you know, I can talk." I'm like, "Yeah, because I will bring it out of you." And she's more of a talker than she thinks. So, and with you, like, again, when we're together, it's just like bing, 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 you know?
Yeah, it's like, catch it up.
Yeah. And then in between bites of pasta, like, hold on. Okay, here's the next thing. And what's going on in your life and what's going on here? So I think that's like the key for me is,
yeah,
you got to communicate. What about you?
I have a friend that calls me every day.
Huh. Mm, okay, keep going. I just lost you for a second, but it's probably recorded. Keep going.
So basically, when I look forward to that phone call, I do like to hear what he's going to say. We talk about really real shit though. And, mm-hmm. and I think the reason that I like him is because it's very real. There's no bullshit. You don't have to, "Oh, how's the weather?" No, it's like, "Hey, what happened with that?" Or I really like the sense of closeness through our conversations because we could say anything and we could support each other. And I've grown to appreciate that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. That's my friend down the street. There's rarely filler, and there's only filler because like the filler is real too. Like, we'll talk serious shit in each other's lives. And then she's like, "This weather sucks," because we live, you know, close together. Yeah. So like the other day, she's out of nowhere. She's like, "What's up with the clouds and all the rain?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know." And that's in between like serious things that are going on in each other's lives. So I agree with you that you have to have that as well. Me and my best friend, we have a lot of filler because we're pop culture people and we talk about that kind of stuff. And we'll throw serious shit in there, but not as often. You have to have that one person that is your person to either dump on or you're getting dumped the information on, because it's important to have those. And if you have that every day, team, you're in a good spot that you have that.
Oh, yeah. I like to have real relationships with people. I really like to know where they're at and not to use it against them, just because I want to know who they are. Like, you know, my friend obviously knew that because she's the one that bought me these cards for Christmas, or not Christmas, for my birthday. Mm. And I was like, "Thank you." But she's like, "You're always looking for something to talk about. Like, here you go."
Yeah.
I love it. And I think being able to be close in that respect.
And I think the cards that you have are great icebreakers. Even again, mm-hmm. for people that you know are icebreakers, because you're bound to find something out or let someone tell you something that will drive your relationship, friendship, whatever it is, closer to each other. And you're going to learn something that is important in other people's lives. Those cards are actually a great thing. And I think for people who are looking to date or are in a relationship, throw those out. This is something that can help you just understand the person that you like or love even more.
Yeah, these are called the Delve Deck. They're by Boardwalk Boardwalk Los Angeles. So BOREDWALK.com.
Yeah.
You gotta give them a shot. I got those. And then she also gave me, these are the intimacy cards after dark.
Well,
and she got them both. She got them both online.
Yeah. So we'll have to do a show on that one. Cause I think that intimacy in general, is a problem with a lot of couples and mm-hmm. being able to open that door. So we'll throw that one on. I think that's a good one. We'll hit that in a couple of weeks and kind of see where that one goes.
Absolutely.
All righty. Any last words?
Communication is key. If you want to have good relationships, you need to open up and start being honest and talking. And this is a good way to do it. So give it a try.
I agree. Make sure you check us out on the socials. You can see what we're doing on Facebook, Instagram, X. Check us out, Apple, Spotify. Those are the two big ones, YouTube Music and on YouTube. Yeah, this is an opinion show. Don't get it twisted. Keep coming back every Wednesday. Listen to us. For me, Rob, and that's Tina. You guys have a great, great Wednesday, and we'll see you next week. See you later.
Bye.